This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. Romans 6, verses 3 to 5. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us all stand for the reading of the Gospel, which is taken from John chapter 12, verse 24 to 25. John chapter 12, verse 24 to 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Please be seated.
Morning. Got my microphone. Good morning. Today we are going to have a Lenten reflection on the Gospel reading we've just heard, and the theme is Death, Seed of Life. So I invite us to just begin this time with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will enlighten our minds and speak to us very deeply this morning and draw out from us a response so that we will honor and glorify you even as we leave this place. We pray for all of us gathered here and those online that you will just be with us wherever we are, because you are the God of all the earth, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, have you been through a time in your life when many things or even everything seemed to fall apart all at once? When something happened that abruptly overturned your plans, throwing you off balance and making your life suddenly feel no longer secure? At the global level, many people are feeling this now because of what's happening in the Middle East. But here I want to come back to where we individually stand before God as we go through Lent. And this could perhaps be a relationship breakup, failing an exam, losing a job, a bad health screening result, or the unexpected death of someone close. And it might be something else completely. But the point is, your feeling of loss is deeply personal and comes from the sense that what was precious and important to you had ended or is ending. Towards the end of last year, I went through something like this when I was suddenly confronted with a very serious health issue in my family. And for a few weeks, even though I was carrying on like normal externally, and people may not have known that there was anything going on, and I continued to remind myself of God's faithfulness and love, internally I was struggling with feelings of sadness, very deep feelings of sadness about potential loss, even though this had not happened. And then when it seemed that one issue had been dealt with, another health concern suddenly cropped up earlier this year. So it was like being on a roller coaster with feelings going down and up again. But as it turned out, thank God, he was faithful and gracious through and through. And so to our family's relief, the first issue was very quickly and successfully treated. And then amazingly, the second concern was suddenly resolved. Now, I'm sure there are others here today who may have gone through much worse experiences, but nonetheless, you have found that God is more than able to turn bleak circumstances into situations of hope. Corrie ten Boom was the Dutch Christian writer famous for her book, The Hiding Place, and she was sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp with her family in World War II, because they had tried to help Jews escape from the Nazis by hiding them. And she survived. but her sister, Betsy, did not. And so in the concentration camp, when Betsy was dying, she told Corrie to share this message. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. God's love and grace are sufficient in the worst and the darkest circumstances. And our Lord Jesus takes that message and hope even further. What looks like the deepest pit may actually be where new life begins. And as we saw in today's gospel reading from John chapter 12, verse 24, he said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. As the Message version puts it, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. So my dear brothers and sisters, in God's hands, burial can become planting. The cross leads to resurrection. And as we go through the season of Lent, our risen Lord Jesus is teaching us to trust this pattern and outcome. It perhaps seems paradoxical to talk about death producing life or loss leading to fruitfulness, but this is a pattern at the heart of our Christian faith. In Jesus' death and resurrection, we see this, but also in our lives as his followers. Christian hope is not about escaping life or pretending that loss doesn't hurt. It's about trusting that God brings new life out of apparent endings. And so today I would like to reflect on three metaphors that explore the meaning and impact of this paradox: the soil of honesty, the seed of surrender, and the shoot of resurrection. Firstly, the soil of honesty. We need to face reality and we need to face our mortality before God. Think about it. For a seed to grow, it has to be planted in soil. And while soil is necessary, soil is not necessarily nice or pleasant because it contains dirt, decomposing organic matter, billions of microorganisms. But it is this fundamental, basic, earthy nature of soil that allows a buried seed to yield new life. And during Lent, it is good to slow down, to be honest, for us to face realities that may be unpleasant and perhaps which we prefer to avoid thinking or talking about. Lent brings us down to earth and confronts us with hard reality and truth. Now, we all know that we live in a culture and society that prefers not to think of such things, but prefers to talk of constant activity, to be optimistic all the time, to celebrate success, bright lights, and ultimately superficiality. Lent takes us the other way. Lent invites us to pause and to confront deeper and perhaps darker things: our mortality, our surrender, our repentance, but ultimately, hope. At our Ash Wednesday service, Pastor Chan reminded us that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. And he was not saying this to fill us with despair or pessimism, but to remind us that this is true. Because death is the absolute certainty for all of us. And the Bible never romanticizes death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the Apostle Paul calls death the last enemy to be abolished. So death is an enemy, and death is real. It is not just a natural transition to another state of existence. The grief, the fear, the loss that we feel when someone we love dies are real, and they should be confronted honestly, not swept under the carpet. Remember when Jesus came to the tomb of his good friend Lazarus? We are told in John chapter 11, verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. God does not pretend that death is okay or something to be trivialized. And when we come together in multi-generational services like we do in Saturday evening service once a month, it is wonderful to have young and old mingling and worshiping God together. And yesterday we had Heartbeat join us at Saturday evening service. And every time that happens, there's this tremendous buzz in the service. The level of joy, the energy, the worship really shoots through the roof. But the reality is, whether we are young or whether we are old, it is good for us during Lent to confront our mortality, because our bodies eventually wear out and we experience physical and mental weakness and frailty as we go through life. In fact, life, as I'm sure you know, reminds us regularly that we are not fully in control, and this becomes more stark as we age. We run up against this harsh reality when we grow old, when we fall ill, and even when we are caregivers to people who are sick, aged, or have disabilities. As we considered earlier, unexpected life transitions or setbacks throw us off balance. These situations unsettle us, but they also help to clarify what really matters. Pain and death strip away our illusions, but they give us perspective. Most importantly, they open space for us to encounter God more deeply, more fully, and authentically. So as we go through Lent, we must remember that Christian hope is not denial of death. In fact, the hope of resurrection is so powerful and glorious because of the reality and pain of death. So during Lent, it is helpful to ask ourselves these two questions. Where might God be inviting deeper honesty in us? And what illusions about our lives and ourselves do we need to release to Him? Because the soil of honesty is not the end. Facing reality and our mortality before God is actually the beginning of change, growth, and new life. Secondly, the seed of surrender. The apparent defeat at the cross was really God's transforming work. Jesus' words about the grain of wheat were not an abstract philosophical teaching. He spoke about this as he was heading to the cross. And in John chapter 12, verse 23, he said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified," or as the Message puts it, "time's up." This is a turning point in the ministry of Jesus after he entered Jerusalem. And just before Jesus said these words, some Greeks had come to see him because of all they had heard about him, and probably because of their own spiritual hunger. And until now, Jesus' ministry had largely been to Israel, but now the door to the world was opening. It is significant that Jesus says, "The hour has come," because several times earlier in the Gospel of John, he had said, "My hour has not yet come." Now, his mission is expanding to all the nations of the world, but the cost and the sacrifice will be great. When he says it is time for him to be glorified, he is not referring to triumph, recognition, or success. He means the cross. We know as we read the four Gospels that in spite of all that Jesus had taught the disciples to prepare them for what was coming, when he was finally arrested, tortured, and crucified, the cross looked like complete disaster and defeat. Their hopes collapsed, their expectations were shattered, and they scattered. They had been so convinced that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah that their scriptures had foretold. But how could God's plans be fulfilled when their Messiah had been killed? Yet, as we know, the New Testament consistently tells us that the cross was not a failure. It was the turning point of history, and it had cosmic impact. In Jesus' death on the cross, God's justice and mercy met. He decisively dealt with sin and evil to offer us forgiveness, to defeat death, and to begin renewing His creation. To the disciples, Good Friday looked only like death and burial. But as they realized 3 days later on Easter Sunday, it was really the planting of a grain of wheat to bear much fruit. And my dear brothers and sisters, if we think about it, it is perhaps not so uncommon for us to experience this kind of pattern in our own lives by God's grace. For example, we may be pursuing something we think is good, but we then run up against a closed door, only to find that later another door opens to a better opportunity or plan. We may go through a difficult season of testing, and then we find that our ability to show compassion and to help others go through similar difficulties becomes a blessing both to them and even to us. We may experience loss to find that our calling or priorities are clarified and sharpened. And the fact is that none of this is easy. But the good news is that in God's hands, loss and pain are never wasted. A seed does not simply sit unchanged in the soil. It appears dead, but something hidden is happening. The seed undergoes transformation. It loses its outer shell, and it loses even its original identity to sprout into something new and fruitful. Often we cannot see all this while it's happening. In fact, some of the most formative seasons of our spiritual life are those that can feel most uncertain and unsettling, when we experience disappointments, when our questions go unanswered, and when we experience those dark nights of the soul, when God seems quiet and far away. In John chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus says, "Whoever loves his life loses it." And again, the Message version brings out fresh perspectives. "Anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you will have it forever, real and eternal." Jesus points out the consequences of holding on to our life, or in Greek, psyche, that refers to our whole being, identity, and ourself. Trying to preserve our life ruins it, and trying to protect it leads to ultimate loss. But if we die to ourselves, if we surrender our lives to God, we find real and eternal life. And so Lent trains our hearts for surrender through fasting, which loosens attachments to the world, through prayer that deepens our dependence on God, and also through generosity that prioritizes others over ourselves. During the season of Lent, it is worth considering how we can increasingly let go of ourselves to God. Let's ask ourselves, where is our Heavenly Father asking us to trust Him in our lives rather than to cling tightly onto control? And what might we surrender to Him today that could bear fruit tomorrow? The lesson of the buried grain of wheat and Jesus' apparent defeat at the cross is that God works in deep, unseen, and mysterious ways to achieve growth, victory, and His ultimate purpose for our lives and His new creation. In God's hands, the seed of surrender is never sterile. It may appear dead and buried, but it is really planted to sprout and to bear new life. Thirdly, the shoot of resurrection. The risen Christ Jesus brings new life and also new creation. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus promises that the seed once surrendered and buried bears much fruit. It sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. And if the story had ended only with the burial of Jesus, then the Christian message would not be good news. We wouldn't be here today. But of course we know the story did not end on Good Friday. It went on to Easter Sunday and resurrection. And as we heard in the scripture reading earlier in Romans chapter 6 verses 3 to 5, Paul declares, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Resurrection is not just future hope. Paul speaks of our sharing Christ's death and resurrection already. Baptism is a sign and seal of our dying with Christ and rising into new life. We share in Christ's death and resurrection not just someday and not only after we die, but now. We will, of course, experience the fullness of resurrection when Christ returns and the new heaven and new earth are revealed. But this future hope is not only ahead of us. It has, in many ways, already begun. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God making all things new, giving us a foretaste of what is still to come. As theologians like N.T. Wright emphasize, our Christian hope is not about escaping a doomed world to live somewhere upstairs, floating on clouds. Brothers and sisters, our hope is far more concrete and far more grounded. God's ongoing work is to renew creation, culminating in the new heaven and new earth, when heaven and earth are brought together and God makes all things new. God's purpose is to restore, to heal, and to renew the whole of creation. So how we live now matters, including how we care for the world that we live in, that God has made. And this is the hope and glory we read of in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. And I invite us to read this together because these words are so full of hope and glory and encouragement. So let's read this together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." God will wipe away every tear when the new heaven and new earth come. But brothers and sisters, my question is this: even now, can we be channels of Jesus' resurrection life to help wipe away even some tears as we come alongside people who are mourning and people who are feeling pain? God is inviting us through the power of his Holy Spirit to live out signs of that future hope now, every time we choose compassion over indifference, when we choose generosity over selfishness, forgiveness over resentment, and also reconciliation over division. And sometimes in our life as a community, these can be expressed in very dramatic ways, but often like a fragile shoot emerging from the soil, such evidence of resurrection living happens quietly. It can even be easily overlooked, and yet it is unmistakably alive. So in the season of Lent, may we seek to live authentically and relationally as we think about our church theme of authentic relationality. And we seek to do this through small acts of care and kindness, of being obedient to God on a daily basis, and being faithful in service. Remember that these acts are not insignificant. I think sometimes we underestimate how much God values the way we care for our family members, even when our family members are difficult, when we are supporting a struggling friend, or even when we welcome a lonely stranger in our midst. These are signs of resurrection and new creation life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." And in Greek, the word workmanship is poema, which is the root word for poem. But in fact, this word has a much richer meaning of a work of art, a sculpture that has been intentionally crafted, a deliberate creative project. And as N.T. Wright says, we are God's artwork. Think of it, we are sitting here today as God's artwork. I don't know how you regard one another next to you, but you are sitting amongst works of art. Because we are God's sculpture, His poetry. By the Spirit, we are called and equipped to bring new dimensions of life to the world around us. We are to be Renaissance people. We can also say we are to be resurrection people, demonstrating the birth of the new world. So in other words, brothers and sisters, we are saved for the renewal of the world and also to be signposts of God's kingdom in line with what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in summary, John chapter 12 verses 24 to 25 highlight three themes that challenge us to live more deeply, authentically, and hopefully. The soil of honesty. We need to face reality and our mortality truthfully before God. The seed of surrender. The apparent defeat at the cross was really God's transforming work to secure our salvation and defeat death. And so we can confidently entrust our lives into God's hands. And the shoot of resurrection. As believers, we share in Jesus' resurrection through baptism. And so in the power of His Spirit, we should faithfully live out our lives as signposts of new creation now. As we close, I invite us to prayerfully consider these three questions. Where is God inviting honesty in our lives, in your life, in my life? What do we need to surrender into God's hands? And where can we already see and experience the shoots of resurrection? Remember that God specializes in bringing life and hope out of situations that may seem lifeless and hopeless. I invite us to pray as we close the words of this prayer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you entered the soil of our humanity and transformed death into the seed of life. Give us honesty to face reality and our mortality before you, courage to surrender to you what we hold on to too tightly, and eyes of faith to see the shoots of resurrection sprouting in our lives now as we relate authentically to one another and the world. As we journey through the season of Lent, prepare us to share fully in the life of your new creation to your glory. Amen.
Shall we all stand as we sing this as a response?
One gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to the gifts. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness. gladness and rejoicing. For in my need, His power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley, He will lead. All the night has been won, which I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
With every breath,
with every breath, I long to follow Jesus. For He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me. Until I swim with joy and the overflow. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to me. When the answer is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet the but to this I hold.
And
to this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to me. This is come to my lips, shall repeat, yet not I, but to Christ in me.
Thank you.
Yet not I, but to Christ in me. Yet not I,
but to Christ in
me. Let me
be heard.
And now, indeed, as people belonging to God, we are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share the peace with one another.
Thank you for the word.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I was thinking the offertory to tell them that there will be the offertory bag being passed around. That's all.
The sticker bag. Can you see it? You say that. Don't say that.
What's it?
Let us remain standing as we continue our worship with our tithes and offerings. The offering bags will be passed along the aisle.
In serving the one
Jesus
which the Prince of glory died, my riches gained, I count but loss.
Sing.
In poor God's
sing.
On all black track for me at that I should be saved the day.
I've cried
it is true.
That your rebirth on a sacred time and lives through his blood.
See from his head, his hands are shining.
See from his head and my sins, it is been so good. For me, God, and sleep. Once complete,
Nelson's
so rich the
dreams
were the deepens my soul. Love demons my soul. Love demons my soul. My life,
you.